Welcome, guys, to another episode of Cut the Fat Podcast. My name is Blythe Alberg, and I am joined here in the virtual studio with Dr. Ray Heinisch. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Blythe. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing well myself.
I'm excited to be bringing another podcast to our listeners. We've got a cool episode today on how not to fail at fat loss. Now, we just posted up a podcast with Jonathan Baylor where he interviews you about how to make weight loss stick. And I think this is kind of just an extension of that one.
Yeah, because one of the most common questions that we get from people is, how do I stay motivated, right? And so we're just going to talk a little bit about motivation today, maybe give you some simple tactics. You know, there may not be a lot of groundbreaking stuff in today's podcast, but I think if you find that one gold nugget that we always talk about, just that one gold nugget that says, oh my God, I never thought of it that way.
Right. There may be something in today's podcast that resonates with you.
Absolutely. So, you know, why don't we start by talking about the purpose of motivation, because I'm not sure that people really grasp what is the main purpose of motivation, specifically as it pertains to fat loss, okay? And the way I look at it, and maybe you can add to this, Blythe, but my perception of motivation is that we should use motivation really like, I don't know, like the rocket boosters of habit change. So, you know, we're on the couch, okay? Let's say that we're just now getting started with fat loss or just now getting thinking about changing our body.
Okay.
And we're sitting on the couch, we're watching The Biggest Loser, and we're thinking about it, but we're not quite there yet. The motivation is really just the thing that gets you off the couch and gets you putting your tennis shoes on so that you can go out for your walk or to begin the 30-30 plan, as we've talked about in previous podcasts. Mm-hmm. And then once motivation has gotten you off the couch and gotten the tennis shoes on your feet, really it's done its job. So the ultimate goal is to use motivation to build habits. That is the purpose of motivation, is to give you the fuel, give you the energy to get up off the couch and turn something into a habit.
You said rocket booster. That's the perfect analogy right there. It's that little boost, that boost of motivation, that boost of energy that actually gets you moving.
Right. I think the big problem that people have, though, is they rely on motivation as the end-all be-all. Like, every single time that it's time to work out, you have to get yourself motivated. Every single time that it's time to eat a healthy meal, you have to get yourself motivated. That's a recipe for failure.
Right. That's an exhausting recipe for failure.
Yes, it
is. In fact, that original boost that you actually use to get you motivated, let's go back to the 30-30 day plan real quick. We're talking about walking 30 minutes for 30 days, which is creating a new habit. So that motivation gets you prepared or gets you started for the new habit, but it's you being consistent with that new habit that's going to keep it going and make it stick, you know, create something new.
Right. And so if we could take a microscope to the brain and see motivation, where it's housed, we would see motivation housed in the area of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. It's one of the newest areas of the brain as it pertains to our evolution. But it's also, because it's the newest, it's the least well-fed. It's the one that fatigues out very easily. There's another area of the brain where we would, if we could perceive where habit was housed, it would be housed in an area called the basal ganglia. Now, the basal ganglia is an old area of the brain, and it is well-fed. It is well-nourished. So it basically has an endless supply of energy and fuel to basically build as many habits as we want. So whenever we're relying on motivation, we are relying on an area of the brain that really gets fatigued very easily. And so what we want to do is, when we have that energy, we want to use that energy to do stuff that moves the thought or the action from the frontal cortex into the basal ganglia, where it will basically live there the rest of its life and will make things very easy for us. So once we get to that, I don't know, 28th day of walking, 30 minutes a day for 30 straight days, where we don't take a break even for weekends, vacations, holidays, and rain, snow, or shine. We are walking every single day. Then perhaps what we've done is we've moved it into a different area of the brain that's well nourished so that we don't have to use up the precious energy of the frontal cortex.
So it can become sort of like an autopilot, like the drive to work every morning.
Right, exactly. You know, when we first started driving, driving was difficult. Now we can drive, listen to music, have our conversation, and for some of us, text, which we shouldn't be doing, but right. Some of us are texting, having a conversation, listening to music, and driving. The point being that we are able to do many things because that driving process is no longer housed in the frontal cortex. It's housed in this basal ganglia. So you don't have to think about it. It doesn't burn energy to the degree that new actions that we're taking burn.
That's a great way to look at it. I think that may be the golden nugget of this podcast, but I think people should keep listening.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so where should we start? This is, like you said at the very beginning, this is going to be sort of like an unsexy podcast. It's not full of a lot of brand new information, but it's the down home, like bottom of the barrel information that really helps build the foundation for the forever fat loss that everybody's looking for.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. So why don't we just go ahead and get started with some of the tips. And as I pointed out, it only takes one golden nugget, one thing, even if it's just reminding you of something that you've known already, but it brings it back into light for you, then that's enough to really make some progress for you. So why don't you go ahead and get started with tip number one?
Okay, sure. Tip number one, make a list of why you're doing this. Find your ultimate why. Now, there could be two or three things. You know, it could be a very, very short list, or there could be 10 or 12 reasons why you want to lose this body fat. It may be because you want to be more active. You want to be able to do things with your kids. You may just want to lose weight so your clothes fit better, so you can shop in a different store maybe. Find your whys and write them down. Make it a written list. There's been some studies shown that the act of actually writing it down with a pen helps engage your brain and makes it more active, so you sort of absorb this list and you remember it.
Right. When you think about the brain and you think about how when we're speaking, a particular area of the brain will light up. When we're writing, a different area mm-hmm. of the brain may light up. When we're listening, a different part of the brain will light up. When we're imagining and so forth. So you're basically, when you're imagining, when you're saying, when you're writing it down, you're involving the whole brain. You're not just involving one specific area of the brain as we do when we just think about a particular why or a particular mm-hmm. goal that we have. Okay, you know, one thing that Jade Tita of Metabolic Effect likes to say is that if you're constantly lacking motivation, then really what you're lacking is a big enough why. It's not motivation at all. It's just mm-hmm. a reason. It's a reason that trumps or we like to say it's the why that trumps the why nots.
Okay. You know?
And
okay.
So that's a very good point. And I do agree with you that if it's not written down, it's not real to you. Taking right. something from the thoughts, writing it down on a piece of paper is the first step towards making it a physical reality because now it's there in front of you.
Yeah, and hang that list somewhere. Tape it up where you can see it. Make photocopies. You know, keep it in the frontal cortex of your brain for now.
And then hopefully the more it's there, the more you're exposed to it, you'll move it into this other area of the brain, the basal ganglia, where
absolutely.
It doesn't burn your energy all day long. You know, I'll point out something that, as we're in the discussion about moving out of the frontal cortex of the brain into an area that's more well-nourished is that whenever you have to make a decision, whenever you have to make a choice, whenever you have to weigh the pluses and minuses of something, whenever we're relying on the frontal cortex for motivation constantly, it drains us of the capacity to do other things in life, mm-hmm. okay? There has been research, Blythe, that dieters are at a significantly increased risk of cheating on their spouse.
Interesting.
Okay? And the reason is because when you're constantly being burned of your frontal cortex energy.
So like trying to make choices of what do I eat here? What can I eat off this menu?
Where should I exercise? What should I do? You know, it's a constant struggle that burns that precious energy. And then when that person, that opportunity presents itself to cheat on somebody, then you don't have that precious energy necessary to push that away.
That's really interesting. And that may be a motivating factor for some right there.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to make yourself, if you're in a committed relationship, you don't want to do that.
Of course not.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about the goal. Everybody's got a why, a reason, a goal that they want to reach. But with that long-term goal, you've got to make baby steps along the way. I know this is something that we've talked about before, but it's true. You've got to make many goals. And with those many goals, once you achieve them, you need to reward yourself. It doesn't have to be with food. Okay, I know this sounds really mean, but we're not dogs. Don't reward yourself with food. You can reward yourself with a pedicure, a manicure, maybe some expensive fruit that you really like that's at the grocery store. Reward yourself with something that will make you feel good for achieving that short-term goal that you set.
Absolutely. So those are great points, Blythe. All right, let's go ahead to the next one.
Okay, have strategy. So be prepared to change course as prepared as you can be, because life happens. I mean, maybe your car breaks down on your lunch break and you can't get to the grocery store, and that's what you had planned for lunch. You know, you were going to go buy maybe a bag of lettuce and an avocado and a can of tuna, and you had this ready-made dressing, and you've got to change course. All of a sudden, you've got to go get something to eat. Be prepared for those little hurdles to pop into your life. Basically, the way you can prepare the best is know that they're going to happen. You don't know exactly when, but they will happen. And when they do, it's not the end of the world. It's not the falling off the wagon so much that counts. It's the getting back on that really impacts your life.
Right. If you think about it like a neurosurgeon, you know, you don't go to a really good neurosurgeon. They're not really good neurosurgeons because they know, okay, I have to cut out a tumor out of this brain. Mm-hmm. You go to somebody who can adapt. They know that that's the ultimate goal, but there's not one way to do it. They may have their ideal way, but once they get in there and, you know, stuff happens and they have to change course, what makes them such a great neurosurgeon is that they can think outside that box.
Right, so, they're so adaptable, yeah.
Right, and that's why we always tell people, you've got to become your own expert. What's the difference between an expert and somebody who's a novice? Really, it's about adaptation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They don't just work from a cookie cutter formula. They may have templates, but they also know how to adapt when things don't go quite right.
And with that, that comes from experience. So I think, you know, we're all gaining experience and constantly learning from this. Use that knowledge when you get stuck.
Right. And you know, one of the most common reasons why people give up on an exercise program is because they get to the gym and they feel incompetent in the gym. And incompetence causes motivation to be wiped out in a second. In a second. So if you ever feel incompetent, and you may start off feeling competent, feeling like, okay, well, maybe I know what I'm doing. Walk into the gym, you see somebody doing some sort of, deadlifts or things like that. And then all of a sudden, you start to doubt yourself. You start to feel like, well, maybe I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, that leads right into the next tip. And the next tip is get the help you need. There are tons of workouts available online that you can find. I mean, literally, you can Google chest and arm workout or great leg workout or all over body workout, and up will pop a ton of different workouts. Metabolic Effect book has got tons of great workouts in them. I absolutely love those. HIIT training, all of those types of things. You can enroll in a group exercise class, a yoga class, swim lessons, tennis, anything to lead you into a more fit and active lifestyle.
Now, right. And the goal isn't to get to perfect. The goal is to get to competent. You just want to feel competent. And then you can develop that competence into expertise later down the line. But it's the feeling of incompetence that demotivates us. So don't ever allow yourself to get there. You know, I like to say, I was just talking to my brother the other day, and I like to say that if we're ever in a zombie apocalypse, I could, and somebody needed their appendix out. Okay. All I would need is a medical book and a knife, and you'd have at least a 30% chance of survival.
Okay.
So, you know, the point is that you can go out, you can learn anything. You can learn to do anything. Yeah, and it's at your fingertips.
Absolutely. It is all at your fingertips. So you guys have just got to think out of the box just a little bit. Now, as far as getting the help you need with exercise, that answers that. But you also have to get the help you need with food. So be prepared with, you know, like maybe a list of what you're going to buy at the grocery store, some recipes you want to try that are made from whole foods and they're high in protein and they have, you know, all natural ingredients. Come up with some of the foods you want to try. So that's going to be part of being prepared as well.
Absolutely. Great. Next.
Now, so what happens when you are not feeling confident in the gym? Well, or even with food, you start to have a little bit of a pity party. And that happens to all of us. I'm not saying that you can't have a pity party, but what are you going to do on those days when you're feeling a little bit blue? It's not if they're going to happen, it's when. Don't lose sight of your goal. Do not totally deviate from the plan if you do, which it happens to all of us, but the trick is getting back on the wagon. Once again, it's not what you do in the moment. It's what you do after that moment has passed. You let go of it, and then you hop on the wagon. March to the beat of your own drum. You are going to have critics. You are going to have people out there that are telling you, oh, you know what? You're in great shape. You look great. Go ahead. One bit of chocolate's not going to hurt you. But you know what that one bit of chocolate will do to you if you're anything like me, and that is set you on a binge.
Right, we call them domino foods because when you push over that first domino, it's like the next one goes, the next one goes, the next one goes, the next one goes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's normal. So you know what your triggers are. Become the expert on yourself. And when you have a pity party, know that you're not going to resort to junk foods. Have a plan. Resort to the healthy, clean, maybe your favorite fruit that you buy at the grocery store, and then get right back on the wagon.
I think it's very important that we reiterate that point. You know, if we were perfect at everything, Blythe, if you and I didn't have to struggle with any of this stuff, then we would make terrible teachers, wouldn't we? Because we'd be speaking from the academic level without the experience in there to back it up. You mm-hmm. and I, you know, there was a bad review that we got. You know, when you go on to iTunes, we really encourage people to give us a review, hopefully 5 stars. But we've had a couple of people who've gone on there and said, said the occasional bad thing about us. One of them said, you know what? These people seem to know what they're talking about. Okay. And that was kind of the good part of it. And then she said,
I remember.
But, and then the but was in there. And the but was that they seem to have never had to struggle with weight. You know, and I remember showing you this review and you saying to me, you know, she really doesn't know us. You know, this is literally what you told me, Blythe. You said, I've dug through the trash can to pick out the cookies that I had thrown away.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's totally me. That's the truth. I'm not going to lie about that. I've had my struggles, especially with food. I may have only grown to be like a size 10 at one point in my life, which may be a great size for some people. But for my height and build, that was a larger size for me. It's the largest I've ever been. And for me, that was the point where I said, listen, I've got to do something about this.
Right. Go on.
I'm sorry. And when I noticed that I had that much of a problem with food, I mean, that moment where I was actually digging, it was carrot cake. It wasn't cookies. It was carrot cake. And I remember, and it was not in the trash can in the house. Okay. It was in the trash can outside. So that moment when I noticed that I was craving, I guess, that sugar so badly, it wasn't even that I wanted the food. It was going against what I knew to be better for myself. I was sabotaging myself. That moment was a turnaround moment for me.
And I think that that's the real difference here is, as you've mentioned, you know, when you have that pity party, when you have that moment of failure, really, it's not the failure that gets you. It's the not standing up and beginning again that gets you.
Yes.
So
that's exactly right.
And I think it's a very important point that, you know, we struggle with this stuff too, guys. It's not that we are successful 100% of the time, mm-hmm. but we have our priorities set. And we always, both you and I, we always get right back on the horse.
And
I think
that's
what
distinguishes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so back on to the tips. Now, tip number 6 is continue to check back in with the list you wrote. Now, at the very beginning, I said, you know, make a few copies of that. Hang one on your fridge, hang one on the bathroom mirror, wherever you want to. And eventually, it will become such habit. You will know which number is which why. You know, number 5 maybe, I want to be able to play soccer with my kids after school. That may be. And then eventually, you're going to know what number 5 is. Now, check back in with that list. And it's imperative that when you're having a blue day or a down moment, or you're like me and you're digging in the trash for carrot cake, you look back at those whys and remind yourself why you're doing this. Sometimes we feel really isolated. I know that that's a feeling I felt. That's the perfect word for when I was looking for that cake. I felt really isolated, that I was the only person in the whole world who would be doing this. And then, you know, a few days later, I look back and I think, you know what? That's not true. That I am certainly not the only person in the world that is going through this. So I knew that hopping back on the wagon would be the greatest benefit for myself, and that is why I did it.
Excellent. Good stuff.
Okay. Number 7, that brings me to like the final fail-free point, okay, for losing fat forever. You want to break the mold. You want to show people that this can be done. You have got to keep your perspective. Now, there's a really neat quote that I heard, and I think it was, I'm not even going to say who I think it was, but I Googled it, I found it online, and it was like Gandhi or somebody like that that said it, and I thought it was just totally the ultimate point. You sacrifice health in order to make money, to end up with the same result later in life, but sacrificing your money in order to recuperate your health.
Hmm.
That totally hit home for me when I read that. I was like, that's exactly what I see most of society going through. People I work with, friends, parents, loved ones, aunts, uncles, I see them spending money on recuperating their health when they could have taken control a little bit earlier on to aim toward maybe better health.
Yeah, I think it was Steve Martin who said, you know, the best thing I can do for my business is keep breathing. And that applies to everything. Like, whenever we hear somebody say, I don't have enough time, really what they're telling me is that I don't have my priorities set.
Yes.
And so the best thing you can do for your business is keep breathing. The best thing you can do for your family is keep breathing. The best thing you can do for your schoolwork is keep breathing. You know, it just, you've got to really put it into perspective that this stuff is so important, that this excuse of I don't have enough time. Really?
Which is the most common excuse out there. I mean, really? Yes, it really, really is. I hear it way too often. And I don't even have time for that excuse anymore because right. It's not a priority for me.
We're busy. Everybody's busy. And, you know, there are just some people who just stick to that. Like, you know, like I know I'm a busy person, and I know you're a busy person, but we find the time. We find the time, and you can as well.
Absolutely. And one last final, and this is just like an extra. I didn't number this as a tip, but find a few slogans or catchphrases that pump you up, like a Nike Just Do It poster, or if not now, when. Find some cool quotes, catchphrases that you like, and post them up. Stick one in your wallet. And every time you open your wallet, it's like, oh, it's kind of like leaving yourself a love note.
I know it sounds corny. I mean, it does sound corny. It sounds kind of new agey and woo-woo, but the reality is it's true. It helps you, you know, and I actually posted the question on our Facebook page, which is Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word if you search it on Facebook. I posted the question, can you distill your best motivation tip into a single sentence? And here are a few of them. Jordan writes, 1 year from now, 5 years from now, what are you going to wish you did today? So that's a really good one. Like, think about it.
I like that. And now I haven't been on our Facebook page yet today, but I'm fixing to do that after we're done here.
All right. Stacy wrote, your body hears everything your mind says. That is so true. That is so true.
That.
I like to say that every cell of your body is eavesdropping on your thoughts. So if you think that your metabolism isn't negatively impacted by what you're thinking, you are mistaken. And this is not new age woo-woo stuff. This is, I mean, there is a whole science devoted to how your thoughts impact your chemistry.
Yes.
Katie writes, It's a little cliche, but to have something you've never had, you must do something that you've never done.
Mm-hmm. I love that one.
So, you know, what she's basically saying is that, you know, if you want to burn fat, if you want to lose weight, if you want to be healthier, but you're doing the same things that you've done in the past, you're doing crash diets, you're jumping ship every time something doesn't result in, mm-hmm. in a movement in the scale, then you're basically just going to repeat the same things that you've always done and get the same results. So,
right. You're doing the same thing, expecting a different result. I mean, I think we can all look at that and say, huh, yeah, really, that's silly.
Exactly. So Oliver writes, I love your, you can either take a step forward or backwards speeches. I guess that's us.
Goal. Yes, yeah. That's, I love putting those things up there because I think that really resonates with people.
He continues, he says, they apply to now or in an hour or in a week. That's very motivating to think that right this second, I can be making progress. And, you know, a good question that you can be asking yourself is, what will I do this time? That's one of my favorite phrases. Like mm-hmm. when you end up standing in front of the open refrigerator, having no idea how you got there, you get to ask yourself, what will I do this time?
I like that.
And, okay, Marva writes, easy, never give up. You, I think you, did you post some sort of picture with a phrase on the Cut the Fat page?
I did.
That was uh-huh. right along that line?
Uh-huh. It was a never, never, ever, 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 ever give up.
Yeah. And that's yep. so true. And the reality is, I remember that when we had our group weight loss class here at our wellness center, there was one young lady in the class that went the full 16 weeks and hadn't lost a pound, not 1 pound. And then one day, there was a time when we had canceled the class for the week, but she showed up anyway, not realizing it was canceled. And so she and I had kind of a heart-to-heart. And some things came out in that discussion. It was only like a 15, 20-minute discussion. But after that discussion, she mm-hmm. left. And from that day forward, every week she started to burn fat. So that was a discussion about the whys. It was also a discussion about what her beliefs were, and the beliefs were totally inaccurate. So once she realized that, then it began to result in change in her body. The point is, you never know. And some of the people in our World's Greatest Weight Loss System class, you know, they may have gone the first 6 months without much in the way of results, and then now in the second round, they're all of a sudden seeing
yes.
change.
Yes.
So you never know. You never know when your body's going to respond. So yeah. just keep going, guys. Just keep going.
Don't ever, ever give up.
Right.
Ever.
There are two more on here, and that's okay. Jolie writes, simple. Try to always keep in mind this. Hard work really does pay off.
Yes.
It does. You really don't have any say over when it pays off, but it always pays off. In
absolutely.
Some way.
Absolutely. And it might not show in pounds. Now, guys, remember, it might show off in maybe you get to lower your blood pressure medication. Maybe your cholesterol level goes down. Maybe your heart becomes healthier. There are so many different aspects. And we always seem to come back to relying on the scale and the poundage.
Oh, yeah. And then Barnaby writes, work smarter, not harder. That's such a simple phrase. But the reality and the truth in that statement is really can be mind-blowing if you really sit down and give it some thought. It's not about just running 3 hours a day on the treadmill. It's about
being as smart as you can.
That's right.
With that time in the gym. You know what? I'm all about that. I love that one.
You know, guys, when we're talking about motivation, it's very, very important to realize that this is a process that isn't going to be continuous. Like, you're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. We all do. There's going to be days when you're going to burn fat. There are going to be days when you're going to store fat. As long as the net total is in the right direction, that's really all we care about.
Absolutely. And, you know, keep in mind that the motivation that we talked about at the beginning of this episode is only meant to keep you going. Your ultimate goal has got to be to create a lifestyle change, create a new habit. And really, what's a better time than right now?
Right. And, you know, don't always focus just on what motivates you. You've got to also focus on what demotivates you. Like, what are the things in your life that demotivate you, and get them out?
Good point.
So I think that does it for today, Blythe. You have anything else to add before we give the final credits?
Yeah, I just want everybody to make sure that they share this podcast with their friends. After all, it's free. It's full of informative tips. And we want everybody out there to just live a healthy, energetic, active life. You know, I want to share it with everybody. You can find us on iTunes. Cut the Fat Podcast is what you have to add in the search box. Don't forget, if you go to iTunes to rate us, you can find us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. We've got recipes, a blog post, articles on there. There's all sorts of stuff, guys. Don't forget to share us with your friends, and we are going to be leaving you again with the Grilled Lincolns.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Bye. A little twist of what you know is true. You're in a cloudy home, a shed don't touch you. Feel a place to pop the pot since blue. And all the sticky things that keep me safe.